Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text will begin just with one verse. Jesus said of Lazarus, "This illness doesn't lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Thus far the text. Lazarus was ill. Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus, brother of Martha and Mary. Lazarus, friend whom the Lord loved. That Lazarus. From where you sit, you can see the big picture with Lazarus. You can look at the whole thing from above and beyond and outside the story. Having just heard from John's gospel, you have an omniscient third-person perspective on Lazarus and his illness, a divine perspective. What I mean is this: you already know how it ends. You also know what happens in the middle. And you even know what Jesus says when he first hears about Lazarus being sick. This illness doesn't lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man might be glorified through it. In those words, you have the mind of Jesus. You know what he's thinking. You know what he sees. And this is how he thinks about Lazarus's illness. It doesn't lead to death. It's for the glory of God. The Son of Man will be glorified through it. I want you to treasure this perspective. Treasure and hold on to these words of Jesus as he interprets for you the meaning of Lazarus's death. And I want you to treasure this perspective because you don't get this perspective on your own life. You only see your story through your own eyes. You don't get to see the big picture. No one does. When your loved one becomes sick, you don't get an omniscient third-person view of it. You certainly don't know how it'll end. You've got no idea what'll happen in the middle, and I would venture to guess that you're not very clear even about the beginning. And you definitely don't get to hear what Jesus says about your particular situation. When we hear about Lazarus, we know a lot, but when it comes to our own lives, we don't. When it comes to Lazarus, we know more than Mary and Martha know. We've got the whole chapter. But in our own lives and with our own loved ones, we're no better off than they were. We've got as little understanding about what's going on as they did. Maybe a verse here, maybe a word there, but that's about it. So what is it that Mary and Martha know? Two things. They know their brother is ill, and they know Jesus loves him. They know their brother is ill, and they know Jesus loves him. Similar to what we know when our loved ones are sick. And so they do what you and I would do. They send a message to Jesus, a prayer. "Lord, he whom you love is ill." They send the message, the plea, and then they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And you can almost see the questions starting to pile up as the time goes by. You know what those questions are. Where is he? Why isn't he here yet? When's he going to come and make it all better? And meanwhile, Lazarus' health deteriorates. The illness becomes severe. His fever spikes. Where's Jesus? He loses consciousness. They do what they can. It isn't much. If only the Lord would come. They hold his hand. They pray. They sing the Psalms through their tears. And then they say, "Goodbye, Lazarus. I love you, Lazarus. Don't leave us." But he does. Lazarus is dust, and to dust he returns, just like it says in Genesis. And their lives go on. They sleep, they rise, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But Lazarus doesn't. And where is Jesus? They don't know. They can't call him. They can't text him. All they know through this time is silence, absence, darkness, death. You've been Mary and Martha. Maybe you're Mary and Martha right now, heartbroken, disappointed, angry. Why did he have to leave me? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't the doctors figure it out? Why didn't Jesus come and make it better? If only. That's what they say when Jesus finally shows up, after Lazarus had already been in the grave 4 days. It might as well have been 20 years. "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died," Martha says. And Mary, falling at his feet, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." If only he'd responded sooner, moved more quickly, cared a little more. If only he worked on my time instead of his time, whatever his time is, then Lazarus wouldn't have died. Couldn't it end some other way than the tomb? Why can't life be more like a fairy tale, where the dragons, the monsters, and the witches die, and everyone else lives happily ever after? Martha knows that there's more. "Even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Whatever you ask, God will give you." Apparently, Mary wasn't the only one who'd sat at the feet of Jesus and listened. What an amazing statement that is. What confidence she has in her Lord. She believes in him. She believes in his deep connection with God, in his divine power, and she trusts him. Trusts him through her grief, her disappointment, her anger. What else can she do? What else can you do? Because this is where you are too, or where you've been before, or where you'll be someday in the future, somewhere between Lazarus is ill and the end that's a new beginning. You've got the same promise that Jesus gives to Martha. Your brother will rise again. And that's a great comfort. It's a great comfort and a precious promise. But there's one thing about those words, "your brother will rise again." It doesn't fill the hole you've got right now. It doesn't wipe away your tears today. It doesn't remove the pain instantly. It's more like a medication that'll fix things in the long run if you take your daily dose, but it doesn't immediately relieve the symptoms. So take it. Your brother will rise again. Even if the symptoms continue, it'll do you good. "I know," Martha says. "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But still, Jesus, what about today? What about right now? What about all the years I've got between now and then?" "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus says. "Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." It's as if Jesus says, "Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten who I am? I am the living bread, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. the true vine. I am the winemaker, the sick healer, the bread multiplier, the water walker, and the sight giver. I am the bone setter, the ligament joiner, the skin grafter, the heart starter, the spirit breather, the death reverser, the body raiser, the last day. And I am today, right now, here, in all the time and space between death and resurrection, for him and for you. Remember what Martha had said. Even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Does she know what she's asking? Do you know? Do you understand what it's going to cost? What this will require of Jesus? Because the grave doesn't just give back its dead. It doesn't say, oh sure, you can have that one back. The resurrection and the life doesn't come cheap. The grave demands a body. Sin demands its wages. And so they go to the tomb. And Jesus weeps. True man, he knows what it's like to stand by the grave of a loved one and weep because he's done it. He's greatly moved and deeply troubled. Why? Because he hates death and what it does to us. Because he despises the way that death separates us from loved ones. Because he grieves the pain that it causes us. And for the same reason that his sweat falls like drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, because of what he's got to do to make the grave give back the dead. Take away the stone, Jesus says, but keep that stone handy. It'll be needed again soon. And so they take it away. And when he had given thanks, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And he did. The voice of the Lord raises the dead. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. O death, let him go. Take me and give him back my body for his body. When you unwind those cloths from Lazarus, you might as well just wind me up in them. Bind me and lay me in the tomb. I'll enter. Let's see what death can do with the resurrection and the life. Let's see how the last day, how the grave handles the coming of the last day. When Lazarus comes out of the tomb, Good Friday is right around the corner for us as well. And you can draw a straight line from the raising of Lazarus to the death of Jesus. Lazarus lives. Jesus dies. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, son of Mary. Jesus, friend of Lazarus, and your friend as well. This is the big picture. This is what it looks like from above and beyond. This is the divine perspective. This illness goes through death, but it doesn't lead to death. It leads to life. It's for the glory of God. And it's for our communion with that glory of God. And truly the Son of Man is glorified by it, with a glory hidden in his own cross and grave. One man dies that all may live. Dear friends, he calls you today. He calls you to live. He calls you out of the grave. He calls you to step out of the garments of death and into a life that you've barely even begun to comprehend. Even if you've got one foot in the grave, you can hear him calling. You can feel him pulling you out with the power of his own voice, willing you not to live in sin and death, but in the resurrection and the life, first for the soul and then for the body. Yes, we're in the middle of that story now. And we do know how it ends for us and for all who have died in Christ. It ends like this. With the stone rolled away, the voice calling, the grave cloths folded up, both feet out of the grave. And yes, it really does end happily ever after. In Jesus' name. Amen.